Well, I was reminded something one of the young men in my church sent me the other day. New preacher came to a church, and a family in the church invited him over to the house. So got done eating. When he left, the woman said to the husband, she said, "I can't believe it." He said, "Why?" He said, "That new preacher stole my fork." She said, "The fork's nowhere to be found. He stole my fork." And so she kept that bitterness in her heart. And the following year, been a year, they invited the preacher back over again. He came and ate, and he got ready to leave. And she said, "Preacher, before you leave, I can't take it no more." She said, "I've been upset with you for a year." He said, "About what?" He said, "The last time you was here, you stole my fork." He said, "Sister, I did not steal your fork." She said, "Then where is it?" He said, "When I left, I slid it inside your Bible." Amen. Amen. Some of you will get that. Amen. Look at your Bible, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Some of you are going to go home and start reading your Bible. Amen. Amen. Man, what a blessing to be here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity. Don't take it lightly that God deemed to allow me to have this spot and this moment this morning. I just want to say that I have a lot of friends here. Thank you. Thank God for you preachers. You know what I enjoy about the fellowship when we come together? Man, I just get strength, as Brother Steve was just saying, from your presence. Just seeing your face, fellowshipping with you. If that's all we did, honestly, if that's all we did, man, that's good enough for me. Just seeing your face, fellowship, and thank God you're still in the battle. See how things are going. Pray with you. Thank God for good men. Thank God for good families. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I do have a thought in my heart that God's given me. Like Brother Aldridge said, it was a devotion that he just brought. Last Tuesday morning, we have a preacher's fellowship down in Columbia, Lexington area where I'm from. We have a pastor's breakfast once a month, and it was my turn to bring the devotion. We take turns bringing the devotion. And late on Monday night, we have it on Tuesdays. Real late Monday night, I said, "God, I got the devotion in the morning. What would you have me speak to the heart of my friends, my preachers?" And God just gave me a little 10, 15-minute thought out of this passage. Last night when I was flipping through notes trying to figure out what to preach, what God had me preach. You know how it is, preachers. You run across a message and you say, "Boy, I remember how God used that one the last time I preached it." Man, and so I had a lot of things in my heart, and the Holy Ghost said, "I know you hadn't preached it and developed it, but develop that thought that you was bringing at the devotion the other morning." So I'm going to just give you this thought. I want to preach this morning out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God's burdened my heart about this subject. I hope to help you this morning. Read the first few verses and we'll pray. "We then," verse 1, "as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as a ministers of God." We'll finish reading after we pray, but I want to preach this morning on the minister of God. I hope to encourage your heart this morning with a thought that God's given me. Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you'd give me and the Word of God place in these people's heart this morning, that Jesus Christ would be high and lifted up. Lord, tonight I cannot stand this morning in my own strength and power, never even try to. I pray that the Holy Ghost would be preeminent, that His power, Lord, your Spirit, will find its way into the heart of your people. I pray, Lord, that you'll give folks ears to hear. I pray that you'll give us hearts to receive. Give us a will to put in action that you speak to us about today. Thank you, Lord, for using these men. Many of these men have been used in my life for my better, for the kingdom of God's sake. I pray that you'll bless today. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. I'm reminded, verse 1, we're not working alone, we're working together with him. What a privilege. But I know that we cannot do the work of God without his help. Matter of fact, here's what Paul said. "It's him that worketh in me mightily." All the work getting done, it's really him doing it, if we just be honest. Go ahead and give him the glory for it, because we cannot do it. The things that we find in the passage we're going to read: man in his natural strength is not able to perform what God expects out of us. As a minister of God, God expects, let's just be honest, that to be a pastor, a preacher, for the hand of God and the call of God on you, it is a high calling. It is a high calling. This holy calling that God has called us in. And the truth of the matter is that God expects a whole lot more out of me and you than we may even realize this morning. Look at verse 3, if you would look with me, given no offense in anything. Man, what a mouthful. No offense. You know what the word offense means? To be a stumbling block. An occasion. It's giving an occasion of unbelief or doubt. What does it mean, an occasion of unbelief? I mean, we as the ministers of God should never give anybody occasion of unbelief or doubt that that's exactly what we are, that God has called us. So here's what he said, giving no offense in anything. That means that your actions or your reactions does not bring hurt, harm, injury, or damage to the cause of Christ. I cannot control people's actions, but I can control my reaction to their action. If God would help you to allow me to preach to your heart this morning, some of the things that God has put on my heart, I have not in years shared some of my testimony of after God saved me, some things that the Lord done in my life as a young preacher. If God would allow us this morning to do that, I may try to use some of that. But I realize in verse 4, if you would look, in all things, approving ourselves as a ministers of God. That word approving means showing to be true. That which presents a person in a favorable light and renders one worthy of the regard of their calling. You know what God said? In everything that happens in my life, of every good thing that comes and every bad thing that comes, every battle, every attack, every slander, every lie, every praise that's offered to me, and everything in my life, I am supposed to, with the help of God, prove myself to be the minister of God. Can I remind us this morning? I got to thinking. Can I remind us that many times the reason one should not be a pastor who is a novice, because he thinks that his name on the church sign is the approval that he's the minister of God. That does not prove that I'm the minister of God. I know what it is to see your name on the church sign when you become a pastor. And man, what a pleasure that seems to bring to the heart. There is a pleasure to that, but that does not prove me as the minister of God. I'm reminded that the title pastor does not prove I'm the minister of God. Preaching a good message this morning that may fill the altar up, let's be real honest, that does not approve me necessarily as the minister of God. Having a doctor on your name does not approve you as a minister of God. Listen, I'm telling you, just the other day, somebody introduced themselves to me as Dr. So-and-so, and his wife was there and said, I want you to meet Dr. So-and-so as well. And I thought, dear God, I could not imagine introducing my wife as that. I felt that I had to elevate some kind of degree that she has gotten. She is Sister Jennifer Williams. Hey, doctor does not approve us. I don't care. Your education does not approve you as a minister of God. None of that's found in the text we're going to look at this morning. None of that. I'm reminded as well that, hey, a preacher's calendar being booked 3 years out and nobody else can get a meeting, that's no approval as a minister of God. Doesn't do it. I don't care how many people follow you on Facebook. I don't care how popular you are. I don't care how many people followed your tweets, whatever that means. I've never tweeted. None of that. Hey, I don't care how many people have seen you on YouTube. I mean, it does not matter. Listen, it does. These things do not approve us as the minister of God. That does not do it. I'm reminded of some things that the Bible does tell us that will help us prove. Listen, it gives validity that the God of heaven called you and put his hand on you and counted you faithful and put you in the ministry. There's some things that will shout to this world, that man is a minister of God. Look with me, if you would, in the text. There is no way for me to preach on some of these things. I'll just mention them. This is a series to be preached out of this portion of Scripture. But there'll be a few that I'll just highlight and preach on this morning. Look at the first thing that he said approves us as a minister of God. Number one, in much patience. Much means a great quantity and amount. Much. Why? Much patience. Here's what patience means, gentlemen. Suffering of affliction, pain, toil, calamity, and all other evil. Suffering it with a calm, unruffled temper. A calm temper which bears evils without murmuring and being discontent. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work, that you will be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I understand that we are to be patient in tribulation. We are to be patient in tribulation. Here's what Paul said, that we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. He said, man, what do you mean glory in tribulation? I tell you what I think about that after I come through the tribulation and God has helped me through it. And I'm victorious through it. I can stand on the other side and I can glory in that thing. I can talk about what God did. I can take a bad situation and horrible circumstances and hurt and misunderstandings and wounds. And on the other side of it, with the help of God, with much patience coming through it, I can stand on the other side and glory in the tribulation. Patience. You have need of patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Listen, gentlemen, facing what we face with an unruffled temper, a calm, unruffled temper. That's what the Bible says, much patience. If he said much patience, must mean that you and I are going to face a lot of things. We're going to face things most people will never hear of. I have dealt with things my congregation has no clue. I have dealt with things my children has no clue. I have even privately sometimes dealt with things in the church that I did not come home and lay that burden upon my wife, but deal with it with God and try to keep it from her and try to even protect the situation of it getting out of hand. But I'm going to tell you, when God said much patience, we're going to go through some stuff. But in that is when we can give the approval and prove that God has called me. I am God's man. I remind you that as I looked in the book of Exodus 23, we are in the night that when the priest of God, listen, there were some things that caused him to stand out. His standards, his clothing. I find out his pureness with the washing of his hands and the washing of his feet and the washing of his clothes, that we must keep ourselves clean. And when he walked, people knew that that was a priest of God, because in his walk, the bells rang around the hem of his garment between the pomegranates. People are to know by our walk and by our cleanness and by our purity and by our clothing and righteousness that we're the ministers of God. Upon his head was a mitre engraved, holiness unto the Lord. You know what that man was proclaiming? I am holiness unto the Lord. To live holy. To be a holy man. I'm reminded of the fragrance upon the garments of the priest as that holy ointment, that holy oil that whenever they came around, not only in their walk, but listen, friend, just their presence had a perfume to it. Listen, do not allow the things that come in your life to rob you of the sweetness that God has put in you. The sweetness of God's Spirit. The kindness and the merciful spirit and the compassionate spirit that God has so ingrained in you. That's why God called you, because God's worked in you. God does not call men to the ministry he has not worked in. I'm talking about in a great measure. God has worked in your life in a great measure. He said much patience. Much patience in affliction. Now going into these things, just think about them. Don't have time to preach on all of them. In necessities. Listen, that is a stronger word than affliction. You know what necessity means? It denotes unavoidable distresses and calamity. And at times it puts you in the place of want and great need. When you're in those moments, how do people see me and you respond? When situations happen and come that are uncontrollable, could not be controlled. How do we deal with it? Let's be honest. There's been some ministers that I've seen in my life but how they've dealt with some things. How they dealt with some things, I began to lose some respect for them. When they had a moment to shine for the glory of God, when they had a moment in their distress to point people to the God of heaven and lay a hold of a strength that they have never known, they reacted in the strength of their flesh and brought, listen, one thing that I'm reminded of in this text, it's about the ministry not being blamed. It's not about defending my name. It is not. I cannot believe that I am the pastor of the church. I cannot believe they would say things like that against me. You know what I was encouraged with this past year? I'm not going to go into it all. A couple of you preacher friends know. 14 years pastoring the church. I got saved at 16. Whenever I was 21, got married, went to the mission field 4.5 years. Came home off the mission field, became the associate pastor of my home church, the only church I've ever known, 4.5 years. And then I've been the pastor of that church 14 years now. 14 years. God has blessed. God has grown our church. I mean, God has done some great things. I've had a few little bumps on the road along the way, but I didn't have no horrible stories to tell. I had a few people leave here and there. Not real great trouble in the church. And I was kind of sitting on the back burner, and I was hearing stories of other men dealing with things. And I thought, I know I'm not exempt, but I don't know what that's like. Till this past year, some of the people closest to me that I'd never imagined. You know what I have realized? People want a preacher. They do not want a pastor. They want a preacher. They want somebody to just show up on Sunday morning and preach, and that's it. Don't pastor me. Don't hold me accountable. Don't tell me what I can do and don't do. And if I do something wrong, it's none of your business. It is my life. Just preach. Just preach and leave it alone. They want to bring a pastor in and have a board to run all the administration and everything and say, look, just keep your hands off everything. You just preach a sermon on Sunday morning and go home. That's it. They want a preacher. They don't want a pastor. Sometimes when you pastor that crowd that calls you pastor, your eyes real quick, they don't want to be pastored. They do not. I'm telling you, before the God of heaven, they do not want to be pastored. But this past year in my life and my ministry, when that began to happen, I began to think, and here's what brought me some courage. I had four families at one time left, one family being a ringleader and pulled some people out that I'd won to the Lord. And I'm telling you, friend, it was a wound that was deep. I mean, it was deep. I mean, I felt it to the core of my being. I mean, it consumed me. But you know what God encouraged me with? I was reminded that and thank God we didn't have a church split, but I was reminded that in a perfect heaven, with a perfect God, in a perfect environment, Lucifer rose up against Almighty God. The first church split took place in heaven with a perfect God. Won't you think about that now? And here God has created the anointed cherub, put His glory and talents and abilities and created him like no other, and the angels of God that He created and fashioned with His own hands and put glory and endued them with glory, that His own creation rose up against Him in heaven in a perfect environment. And here's what the Lord told me. If in a perfect heaven, with me being a perfect God, they will rise up and leave me. Why do you think they wouldn't leave you? You don't think that hurt God? I don't think God sitting up in heaven said, that's why? And I know this, the God of heaven will give you strength to get through that. He can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. I'm reminded of Jesus Christ in John chapter 6. The greatest preacher in shoe leather there's ever been, preaching, and the Bible says they went away and walked no more with Him. Didn't understand this message. Couldn't grab a hold of it. Finally, the Lord looked. There's 12 men sitting there. 12. You want to talk about people leaving you? And He said, will you also go away? And Peter spoke up and said, Lord, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. You have the words of eternal life. You know what? They didn't understand what He said either, but they knew one thing. There's nowhere else to go. So where'd all those other people go? They went where there was nowhere to go. I'm convinced a lot of these people going play, they're going nowhere. They're going nowhere. So I find in the text, he talked about necessities, distresses that are upon them. Look in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at this with me if you would. Look in verse 7. But we have this treasure, the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus. We have an earthen vessels. We are frail and fragile, but he inhabits us and lives in us, that the excellency of the power may be of God. Say it with me, brethren, and not of us. It's not of me. I don't have the power and strength to do what God's called me to do. Look at this. Troubled on every side. Troubled, disturbed, harassed, agitated. Hello, everybody's had trouble. Trouble. You know what he said? On every side. If I look in front of me, there's trouble. Look behind me, there's trouble. Look to the left, there's trouble. Look to the right, there's trouble all around me. Now, some of us have never had it that bad. You know what Satan tries to convince us of time when there's some trouble in the church? Some preachers seem to blame the whole church for it. It's not the whole church. One sinner can destroy much good. And you always said we're troubled on every side. And here's what he said. This encouraged me. Yet not distressed. Distressed means to cause one anxiety by pain and affliction with a sense of tightness. To be troubled in the mind about the uncertainty of the situation. Here's what Paul said. We're in the middle of distress, but I'm not troubled about it. I'm in trouble, but I'm not troubled. It's not destroying me. You know what Paul's doing? Approving himself that he is the minister of Almighty God. He is proving that God has called him. You know what many of these trials in our life is? Proving ground. Proving. I have 4 children looking at me. How I'm going to handle all the adversity that comes my way. When the wounds and things that people say and the horrible things that happened to my church this year. Man, my children, I mean, they were wounded. It wasn't an attack on them. It was an attack on me as their dad and on the church and lies that were said. I'm talking about, listen, only hell can hatch up lies like that. And nobody, it seems crazy that some people just don't come and say, preacher, this is what was said. What's the truth of this matter? People normally don't do that. Carnality, they don't do it. I guess the thing that hurts the worst sometimes is the people that you have ministered to and labor and give and loved and prayed for and counseled and helped their children that you would feel like you had some kind of length and strength of validity in their life. That when they heard something, they would rise up and say, hey, there's no way my pastor said that. There's no way my pastor did that. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Let's go for a ride. Where we're going? We're going to see the preacher. That doesn't happen. At least it hadn't happened on my shift. Maybe yours. And if it has happened, thank God for it. Just don't happen. But let me tell you, friend, God is not the author of a lot of these things that happen, but I'm telling you, he could sure use it. I'm a better preacher because of it. My children are better because of it. Times I was able to get on iron. You know what my children have seen? That if anybody ever asks, is your mom and dad bitter through that? They said, no. My mom and dad has prayed and begged God for those people. My mom and dad have told us to love those people. My mom and dad told us don't let this bitterness, because I do not want someone else's carnality to change my spirituality. Don't want to do it. Paul said that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which God's given me. None of these things move me because I don't count my life dear unto myself. I'm living my life for Jesus, not for me. It's not about me vindicating myself. It's not about me trying to protect my name. It's all about us protecting His name. It's about me protecting His ministry. Here's what the Bible says. Look what he said in the same distressed. He said, we're distressed. We are perplexed. Perplexed means to be uncertain as the nature of a thing by reason of its involved and intricate character, to be puzzled by the complicatedness of the situation. Ever been in a situation you thought, what do I do here? It's complicated. It's complex. To be puzzled by it. He said, we may be perplexed. That's our situation. But he said, though we may be perplexed, we're not in despair. That means to be laid waste, ruined, to be reduced to useless form, to render unuseless, to put an end to one, to do away with one. He said, we may be in that kind of circumstances. We haven't lost hope. We're not ruined. We're not destroyed. God's still on the throne. In the middle of those times is when we can approve ourselves as the ministers of God. Persecuted, not forsaken. God hasn't left us. Cast down, not destroy. Be in a cast position. Something hits you so hard it puts you on your back. And you know this, if you preachers that have studied about the sheep and the shepherd, when a sheep gets on his back, he cannot get up by himself. He'll die there. He'll die. He'll drown in his own body fluids. And the only way he can get up is if the shepherd comes by and picks him up. He's there. He's dying. He is going to die. He's in that cast down position. And the shepherd comes by and picks him up, loves on him, sustains him, holds him up between his legs until he can walk. And if he turns him loose and he begins to stumble, the shepherd picks him up again and sustains him. And whenever the shepherd finally turns him loose, starts to walk off, the sheep don't run back to the herd. The sheep sticks as close as he can get to the shepherd's leg, won't leave his side. You know what Paul said? He said, yeah, there's been some things put me on my back, but I'm not destroyed. I'm not destroyed. God has helped me through a spirit, is what Paul's saying, to prove God's called me. The minister of God. It's not about the books that you write that it proves you as a minister of God. It's not about the thesis that you wrote in Bible college. It proves you as a minister of God. It's not about that. It is not even the ordination on your wall with men that laid their hands on you that you could point to and say, look, that is the proof I'm the minister of God. How we respond to people's actions is what approves me as a minister of God. I'm reminded in this chapter of chapter 6, he said in stripes, most of us have never had that because of the gospel. But then he said imprisonments. I want to share a few things with you over the next few moments in my life. I do know a little bit about that. I hadn't been in prison sentenced to years, but when I got saved at the age of 16, God called me to preach 3 months later. Surrendered to preach. Our church has always been a street preaching church. I just preached this past Saturday night. I have 10 to 15 guys on the street every Saturday night from our church passing out tracts and preaching. And over 20 years ago, what began whenever I was 18, 19 years old, preaching the gospel on the street, they started arresting us. I've been arrested 17 times for preaching the gospel on the streets. As we were arrested and put in jail, we were in Buford one time preaching and thrown inside of jail. But God did a lot of great, mighty things inside of jail. I had shared this with the men at the prayer breakfast the other morning. The warden of the jail, Alan Morton was his name. When they put us in jail, I spent almost 60 days in jail at one time for just holding a Bible up on the street and preaching the love of God. As we were in jail, Alan Morton, here's what happened. We had lockdown every night about 8:30. We would go into lockdown. And we told him, we said, look, there's a few of us preachers there. We said, man, could we have church and invite these guys at 8:30 instead of putting them in lockdown? Would you allow us to have church and just preach for 30 minutes and sing and try to encourage these guys? He said, well, there's nothing against the regulations. I guess let's try it and see what happens. So at 8:30... we come out and had church, told all the guys in jail, we're going to have church for 30 minutes. And the warden said, if you don't come out here, you're going to lockdown. And if anybody's ever been in jail, men don't like lockdown. I'm telling you, the room filled up. We sang and we preached. And it went from 8:30 to 9 for a few nights. And after that, the warden said, that 30 minutes ain't long enough. We preached from 8:30 to 9:30. Men got saved. Here's what happened. Alan Morton, the warden, he got saved gloriously in the background, sitting in his seat. And we didn't even know God was dealing with him. He got saved and born again by the grace of God, serving God today in Korea as a missionary because God sent us to jail. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, when we showed up, we could have been bitter, mad, run our mouth. But I'm telling you, if God puts you in jail, He wants you to have a ministry from the inside. I was reminded of Paul and Silas when we were in jail. And we went into jail one night. There was a guy in Columbia. We'd got arrested. There was a fella that came that night. We got put in jail that night. And we said, me and the other preacher said, well, you know what? Paul and Silas, man, they sang. So we lit out singing. Them old drunks raised in church, some old rebels in jail that night, raised in church, a lot of them, some of the men in there were black, and I'm telling you, we began to sing Amazing Grace, and man, we had church. God began to stir with us singing. And we stepped over the corner and said, fellas, we want to preach. You know, we don't have a Bible. We want to share the gospel with you. And stood there and preached the gospel in the jail. Nobody ever said anything to us. And that night, I guess it's about midnight, they brought an old drunk in that night. We were just witnessing, singing through the night while we were in jail. And they brought an old drunk in. When he came in, we knew him. I'd witnessed to him many times on the street. He got arrested for public drunk. His name was Spider. Black man. They called him Spider. He came in and he walked in. He walked over, looked around, and he said, hey, they let y'all in here this time of night? I said, oh, yeah, man. He thought we was in there as preachers. Well, I said, oh, yeah, man, they let us in. So he sat down next to us, and he was telling everybody, yeah, I know these preachers. I've taken him home before. I'd fed him before. And he was telling everybody how I knew the preachers. About 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, how long y'all staying? I said, you don't get it, man. They arrested us. He said, what? I said, they arrested, man. We're spending the night with you. He got up, and there was one community cup outside the bars with an orange igloo full of water, and we wouldn't drink out of it. It was only one cup. He reached out there and grabbed the cup and started raking it down the bars, and he said, hey! Hey! Jailer come over and said, what? He said, you better let these preachers out of here. He said, are you crazy arresting preachers? You better let these men out here. God's going to kill you. So help me God, that's the truth. He screamed for an hour, let these preachers out of here. You know what happened about 5 o'clock in the morning? There's a chief of police. The chief of police, Chief Alston. 5 o'clock in the morning, a man came in civilian clothes and they opened the jail. And he said, you preachers. I said, yes, sir. He said, you the preachers? I said, yes, sir. He said, y'all come with me. He brought us out, walked us through everything, said, follow me. Right on out the door, 5 o'clock in the morning. He said, I'm Chief Alston. I'm chief of police. He said, I was laying in my bed last night watching a movie, a Christian movie. Me and my wife were watching it, laying in bed. And Paul and Silas were in jail. And on the police scanner, I heard it coming across that they arrested street preachers. And my wife said to me, honey, are you going to let those boys stay in jail tonight? She said, that's exactly what we're watching. And he said, I couldn't sleep. He said, I've taken care of everything. You don't have to go before bond here, nothing. He said, you're free to go. He said, I'll make you a promise. They'll never arrest you again in the streets of Five Points of Columbia. You know what happened the next weekend? There was a man standing over in a closed store with a hat on and a hood over top of him with a sweatshirt. Had no idea it was Chief Alston. Standing over there, and as the offers come up, people came by cursing us, and people came by hollering at us, and people came by saying awful, horrible things, and the police were called. We're just preaching that Jesus loves the world. He died for sinners. He'll change your life. He'll forgive your sin. He'll give you hope in heaven and keep you out of hell. I mean, we was trying to love those people, and they came and they arrested us and put cuffs behind us, and Chief Alston, he come walking over, and he said, what are you fellas doing? And the officer said, sir, step back. And he pulled his hat off. He said, no, sir, you step back. He said, I asked you a question. What are you doing? He said, Chief Alston. He said, take the cuffs off of him. He said, what? He said, I said, take the cuffs off of him. And he said, these boys have preached nothing but truth. They've said nothing horrible or offensive to anybody. And they have been cussed and hollered. Well, he said, here's what he said. We should be arresting those other people, not these men. Chief Alston left the police force as an evangelist today preaching the gospel. Here's what I'm telling you, friend. God, I know what it's like to preach on the street. I know what it's like to be on the street and people come up with open drinks and walk over you and just dump it on you and laugh and say, I'm sorry, didn't mean it. And still love them through it. I know what it's like to be on the street, brother, and have them spit on you. Just wipe it off and say, I love you, just trying to keep you out of hell. I know what it's like to be on the street preaching and people come out, a man come out with a water hose and soak you from head to foot and laugh and just want you to do something and still hold your Bible in the air and preach that God loves you, trying to keep you out of hell. No matter what you do, it's not going to change my love for you. I know what it's like for a man to grab me when I'm preaching by the throat and try to choke me. And I look with tears running down my eyes and say, you may kill me, but I'm telling you, friend, I love you and God died for you to keep you out of hell. He said, preacher, you ever had your moments? Yeah, I was on the street one night. I had my wife out there. And we was preaching, and the guy that hosed us down, he come out with a hose and started squirting off the sidewalk and coming to us. And I said, Lord, help me. I said, Lord, help me. This is a different situation. My wife's out here. And I turned to him, and here's what I said. I said, sir, you can soak me down like you did before. It ain't going to matter. But I promise you, one drop of water gets on that woman, I'm going to mop this sidewalk up with your rear end. You said, was God in that? I don't know, but it felt good. I have no clue whether God, I don't know if I'm going to answer for that or not, but it felt good to say it. Amen. Said, what did he do? He rolled his little water hose up and went inside. I didn't leave feeling like much of a preacher, but I sure felt like a man. I'll tell you that. I'm telling you, I've seen God do some great things. When we was in jail for about, we were there for about 60 days and the food was horrible. And we said, look, man, can we work in the kitchen? So we went in the kitchen 4 o'clock every morning. We got to cook our own food. They let us eat whatever we want. And after 60 days, here's what they said. We hate to see y'all leave. Everybody hates to see us leave. Listen, I got one of those stories. You know what they paid? They paid us in jail every day we worked, 50 cents a day. So I tell my kid, boy, I work 50 cents a day, praise God. Don't tell me about how you got it bad. The people in jail hated to see us go. They turned us loose. I'm reminded of a boy named Tommy. Young man won to the Lord in the jail while we was in there. 16 years old, in the middle of a drug gang. It all went bad, and he pulled his pistol out. Guy snatched the drugs from him, went to leave without the money, put 6 rounds in the boy's back. Looked at the gun, thought, what did I do? Run home, threw the gun away, and climbed inside of his closet, shaking for an hour and a half later for the police to pick him up. Never been in church, never heard the gospel. And I was able to sit with that boy weeping and give him the gospel of Jesus Christ and see that boy bow his head and ask the God of heaven to save his soul. God, listen, I don't know what goes on in your life. I don't know what God brings. But in the middle of these kind of times is when we prove God put his hand on me. God called me. Titles come and go. Your name may be on the church sign this week and next week something happened and it's not. I'm reminded of what Paul told Timothy, if you'll look with me. I will hurry. Paul told Timothy, look in the book of Timothy. Let me show you this. We'll try to finish. Paul told Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, I'm mindful in verse 4 of your tears. And then he reminded that Timothy's unfeigned faith in verse 5. You know what he said? Timothy, you're real. I'm convinced your mama's real, your grandmother's real. He said, Timothy, we hadn't received the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And he begins to tell him in verse 12, he said, look, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He encourages him, verse 13, to hold fast the sound words that's been given to him. Look at verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygelus and Hermogenes, two men that turned against him. Then he said in verse 16, the Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. When he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So what point are you bringing, preacher? Paul had two men turn against him, Phygelus and Hermogenes. Maybe I shared with this before if he was in another meeting. You know what God spoke to my heart about that? He takes one verse to speak of two men who are rebels. He takes the next three verses, spends three verses on a man who's faithful and loved him. Most preachers would have stopped right there and wrote an entire book on these two men. He spent three times as much writing about one man who stayed faithful and loved him instead of capitalizing and allowing the thought of these two men seem to permeate his life. I'm reminding you when he talked about Alexander the Coppersmith, he just mentions it. He did me much evil. Be aware of him. And he passed on. When he talked about Demas forsaking him in the chapter, you know what he did? He said, look, Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world. End of story. And moved on. Listen, gentlemen. God help us to take that example. I never want those people, especially those this past year that did the damage they did, take preeminence in my life, my pulpit, and among God's people. I want to put my attention on those that are faithful. Those that love God. Give mercy to his family. I mean, he prayed for his man stayed right and kept his kids right. Thank God for those that stay right. You know what he said? Also, look back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's how we prove ourselves as the ministers of God. In watchings, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings, pureness. Keep yourself pure, preacher. Knowledge, our study, our long-suffering, our kindness. Don't ever lose your kindness. By the Holy Ghost. Man, let's be honest. Without Him, we can't do any of it. By the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, keep loving people. Keep loving people, not hypocritical love, but I mean real love. It doesn't matter. Listen, just keep loving people. No matter what happens, just keep loving them. Be like your Lord. Keep loving people by the word of truth, by your study, by the power of God. You know what this world needs to see? They need to see men who walk in the power of God. I'm telling you, it took the power of God in my life when I felt like I had been just ripped. Took the power of God for me to get on my knees, Brother Willis, and say, Lord, I'm not asking you to judge those people. You're God. You do what you know is right and best. I put it in your hand. I put it in your hand. They're not changing me. I'm staying in love with you. I'm not going to let it affect my spirit. Not going to let it affect my church. I'm going to come in as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. I'm not going to let this sorrow permeate my life. I'm not going to let this sorrow put a spirit of sorrow in the church. They'll know, listen, I'm patching myself up with the power of God and the Holy Ghost, and I'm walking in under the unction, and I'm going to preach like nothing happened. I'm going to live like nothing happened, and I'm going to love you like none of it ever happened. I'm telling you, only the power of God can do that. I know what it's like to be on my knees, and when I'm calling their name praying, I stop and said, God, I feel like a hypocrite. I'm only praying because you told me. Because there's nothing inside of me right now that's wanting their good. God, help me. Listen, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. He knows it. I can't lie to Him, act like everything's all right if it's not. But I'm going to tell you what happened. It wasn't long I was able to pray. Prayed for them this morning. Got a list on the back of my prayer list of a list of people that made themselves our enemy or against our church. Called their names out to God this morning. I know this, payday may not come today or in this lifetime, but God's going to settle the record someday. God will settle the record. Look what else he said as we finish. He said, what's going to happen? The word of truth by the power of God, the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left. I believe left hand, the shield of faith. Keep your faith, preacher. The right hand, the sword. Keep slinging the sword by honor and dishonor. You're going to be honored. How do you respond when you're honored? And how do you respond when you're dishonored? That proves whether you're the minister of God. How about not only in honor and dishonor, evil report and good report? How about when somebody says something evil against you that's wrong? I know what it's like to be on the street. Listen, we preached, one of the preachers, it wasn't me, one of the preachers was preaching on the street, and here's what he said. He said, someday, he said, you better call on God while you can, because someday this earth, this dirt ball, is going to burn up and melt with fervent heat. You better get in while you can. You know what the newspaper wrote? Street preachers threaten to burn down Buford. That's what they said. How you going to handle evil report? Come on, you ever been lied against? How you going to handle it? There's the flesh wanting to run out there and set the record straight. But that spiritual man, the power of God, God said, just keep. There's times that you have to deal with things with severity. Times you have to turn over, just like Paul turned them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Why? Paul did it that they might learn. It wasn't for their destruction. He wanted them to repent. His motive was repent, learn not to blaspheme, and then go on and serve God once you got that right. There's times that we as men have to deal with that, be sure we're doing it in the right spirit. We're not like the sons of thunder. Bless God, I call fire out of heaven and kill the whole crowd. In Jesus' name, and God's going to pat me on the back. You ever done it? I felt like it. Listen, I'm telling you. Yeah, I promise you, there's enough fighting me. Put me in the UFC. You're going to feel it. But there's a ministry to protect. There's a name of Christ to protect. There's His glory to protect. And even when all this evil report is given, how are you going to respond? You going to keep your right spirit? You going to be better off for it at the end of it? Look at this. He said, honor, dishonor, evil report, good report, as deceivers yet true. People are going to say you're a deceiver. Your church is a cult. All these things, you're just lie to people, manipulate people, try to get their money. God said, yet they may say that, but you're true. Stay true. Unknown, yet well known. I think the Lord let me say this. Got saved at the age of 16, age of 19, been arrested, put in jail all those times. At my house, all of a sudden the phone rang, 19 years old phone rang. Larry King Live wants to know, can I speak to Stephen Williamson? Be honest, I didn't even know who he was at the time. Flew me and my dad up. I was able to be on Larry King Live for what I was going through. They saw a young man, 19 years old, all that was going on, said, we want your story. I was able to sit in the office with Larry King Live, Larry King, open my Bible and say, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and share the gospel with that man. You know what he did? He said, thank you, son. He said, I respect you. Wasn't long after that, Phil Donahue show called. We want your story. I go get on Phil Donahue, sat in the office with Phil Donahue, and I said, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Opened a King James Bible and gave that man the gospel. Now, I put it on radio. He's a heathen. He didn't like one bit of it. Not one bit. I know I'm nothing, still nothing, nobody. But I'm telling you, you don't have to seek a name for yourself. Too many men, listen, trying to get your name out there doesn't approve you as a minister of God. Trying to get His name out there. His ministry, His glory. Protect His glory. I'll tell you what happened. You won't have to try to get yourself a name. And even after you're not even trying, God just puts you in prominent places. God just do some of these things with you. As unknown, yet well known. There's other things I could tell you. I'm done. Unknown, yet well known. Just give your life to God. Listen to me. Listen to me, young man here. Maybe one of you young men called to preach. I stumbled in my church at 16 years old. Didn't know God. I was a mess. I had on a shirt out, buttoned down, a gold necklace with a medallion hanging on it, bracelet around me, a little bit of long hair, jeans with holes in the knees and tennis shoes going to church. I didn't know any better. Lost, didn't know God. Didn't even have a Bible. I never even remember owning a Bible. Walked into church. Our family was a mess. It was a wreck. I mean, our family's being torn apart. My dad said the only hope for us is getting in the house of God. My dad took us to the house of God, got right. I hated every minute of it for the first 3 months. Despised it. That preacher, I couldn't stand him. Had a finger to reach the back row around people's head and get in your face. He was the kind of preacher, if he saw you hiding behind somebody's head, he'd just go ahead and get on out there and say, I'm talking to you. That's the way he was. Hey, I was lost. I was a young man, didn't know God. Listen, I didn't know God, young man. You know what he did? He come down. We had chairs and not pews. My dad got me up on the third row. He's sitting there and I was hiding. I had my head down. He said, hey, I ain't preaching out of the pew. Look up here. I still didn't look up. I was under conviction. He grabbed chairs. He threw them out of the way. I mean, he come through the aisle. And brother, he grabbed me up. He said, boy, I'm talking to you and nobody else. I was lost. I wasn't saying. He picked me up, put me against the wall. He said, son, you've been listening to preaching for 3 months. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't repent.
Take my time tonight.
Hey, it worked. It worked. I'll tell you what happened. Got saved. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I got in that Sunday morning. Oh, dear God, I got in. God changed me. God saved me. 3. I'm sat in the pew, man, like a sponge, weeping, soaking it up. Man, I was there in his presence. Man, I just got saved. It's wonderful. He had preached, and he was preaching on my sin, and I was like, oh, God, I'm a mess. And I weep, and I'd get in the altar, and I'd leave puddles on the altar. I'd get up with victory, and I'd come to church the next service, all excited, praise God. And he'd preach. I said, oh, God, I'm a mess. That went on for about 3 or 4 months. God was cleaning me up, called me to preach after 3 months, put his hand on me. Listen, young man, there's not one person, and I'm pastoring some of those people that was in the church whenever I come there at 16, lost. There's not one of them, not one of them, that when I walked in the door that Sunday morning for the first time, if my pastor said, y'all don't know it yet, but that's your next preacher, that I said, you're crazy. That's yet to be seen what God do if you just sell out, young man. I'm pastoring the only church I've ever known. God's doing a great work. You say, what about these bad things going on? It's just letting me prove there's a God in heaven. Proving ground. As unknown yet well known. Here's what he said. As unknown yet well known. Dying, behold, we live, facing death, chasing, not killed. I remind you of this, because your pastor is not exempt you from the chastening hand of God. There's no, God's not going to let me slide by with my sin and only chasten the people I pastor, but then let me away with it. When we're wrong, God chastens us. Thank God, though not killed. Why? We repent and get right. Keep short accounts with God. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Goes back to the message last night, sorrowful. Yes, we may have sorrow, and I have a lot of it, but it hasn't taken my joy. Hasn't taken my rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Gentlemen, it's a high calling. Everything comes our way gives an opportunity for God's glory to shine. We prove ourselves in the difficult times. It's when we take the moment, how we come through it, to prove we are God's man, God's minister, standing on the behalf of Almighty God. I'm finished, preacher.